And let's look at the word of the Lord for a little bit. Amen. I've got lots of time. Amen. But I'm not going to overdo it here tonight. Let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 38. Luke, chapter 6, verse 38. Praise God. This is a very familiar scripture, one that we have all read. We've heard it preached from many times, but let's look at it again here tonight. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, and it says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure," everybody said good measure, "good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that you met withal, it shall be measured to you again." Amen. And what I want to talk about tonight is good measure, a good measure. Praise God. Lord, we thank you for the word of God tonight. We thank you for truth. We ask you to anoint the word of God to speak to our hearts. Lay your hand upon us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Praise God. Before we get into the lesson here tonight, before we get into the Word of God, please let us know if you're planning to go Friday. We need to know so we can make plans accordingly. Amen. You can be seated tonight. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Anybody feel good tonight? I feel good. It's good to feel good. Amen. I am just very thankful that all of this sickness hasn't come upon me. Amen. I'm just appreciative to the Lord for that. You know, I failed to teach on giving tonight because giving is a principle in the Word of God that every one of us should find or develop and understand that it's a very exciting part of living for God. It really is, and I want to show it to you before we finish here tonight. But giving is really the understanding of what I'm going to do with my life, and it will determine what reward I'm going to have in the life to come. Giving will. Giving is a lot like sowing. Galatians 6 and verse 7. Now I'm going to go quickly here. I've got a number of scriptures tonight. So if you want to write them down, read them when you get home, that'll be great. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Amen. And so it is the principle of the harvest, or as I would like to call it, the law of the harvest. It always produces the same result. What you sow is what you're going to reap. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6, if that last scripture wasn't exciting enough, this one here will help you to get really excited tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." Amen. So that's an exciting scripture right there. Both of those are very positive, and these truths apply to anything that you do. Whatever you give yourself to is what you're going to return. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to receive back corruption. Praise the Lord. If you sow to the Spirit, you're going to grow and prosper in the realm of the Spirit. This principle applies to finances as well. It applies to our giving, and we're going to talk about it here tonight. I really felt to do this, especially just moments before I woke up this morning. I had a dream about this, and so I hope that the Lord will help me here tonight and it will be anointed to somebody's mind and heart. Amen. Because giving is a very important part of living. Amen. And there's a couple of things that giving is the basis of, or the basis of giving is found in two areas. All right? And the first area is the commandments. Everybody said commandments. And the heart. Everybody said the heart. The heart. Amen. Isn't it true that we're supposed to love God with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength? Our strength is our physical part of us. And so when we look at it here tonight, when we speak of the commandments, we can see and looking at the commandments here tonight, I'll just split this off with a couple of here. One is negative and one is positive. Now, where do you get that, Pastor? Well, I get that from the study of the Jewish faith, and that's exactly what they believe. They believe that the Ten Commandments, that there are negative commandments and there are positive commandments. Don't be misunderstanding here tonight. Negative does not mean bad, but it just simply means that there are commandments that say thou shalt, and those are thou shalt not, and those are considered the negative commandments. The positive commandments are the ones in which it says thou shalt, and when we look at the negative commandments, actually, all of the commandments, they come with judgment if they are not adhered to. But there is, under the positive commandments, a thing called a commandment with promise. Amen. And I suppose all of the commandments have a promise with them. And the Lord said, if you don't do this, then this penalty will come along. And so there's a promise that way, which is a negative promise. But I'm looking at the positive promise here tonight. And if we give, Jesus said, it shall be given unto us. There is a promise that goes along with the commandment. Somebody said, praise the Lord. Amen. And when we look at this, when we look at the commandments, we understand that all of the commandments of God. David said, I look at all of your precepts concerning all things to be right. And so the commandments of God are right. They are true. Whatever it says here in the Word of God will come to pass in your life. And whatever you sow is what you're going to reap. Both of these negative and positive, they are right. But not only are they right, they are reasonable. Amen. Like it says in one place in the Scripture, it is our reasonable service. And it is reasonable that the Lord would set this up in the Word. But I want to look from the Old Testament. I like to get it all in perspective. But the very first one is Abraham. And why don't you turn tonight? Turn tonight to Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 2. And I'm going to put Abraham over here under the heart. All right, Abraham. Brother Reed, are you there tonight? All right, read it for us, please. All right. Now, that's speaking of Melchizedek, of which there's a lot that we could talk about when it comes to Melchizedek. But Melchizedek was the king of righteousness, and after that, the king of Salem, and that Salem was later changed to Jerusalem, all right, which is the king of the city where God chose to put his name. And so Abraham after coming back from a battle and with the spoils, Abraham, in the day of Abraham, there were no commandments. Amen. The law had not been given yet. There was no law. They were living according to their heart. Amen. And so Abraham, when he came back with the spoils, the Bible says he gave a tenth or 10% of what he had gained to Melchizedek. He tithed. And Paul talks about it here in Hebrews, and he had to go to more basic things because the Jews didn't really understand the basics yet. But the Bible tells us here that Abraham gave a tenth part of all. And it's in one of the commentators said he paid tithes of all, and those tithes were taken out of the topmost and best portion of the whole spoils. And so not only did Abraham give a tenth of the spoil to this Melchizedek, but he looked through all of the spoils that he had, and he found the very best things that he had in there, and that's what he gave to Melchizedek. Praise God. No law can dictate those kinds of things because the heart is the only one that can do that. And we know that Abraham is the father of the faithful. We tonight are the children, the spiritual seed of Abraham. Amen. And Abraham is regarded as one of the greatest men that ever walked with God. Was he perfect? No, he wasn't perfect, but there was a heart that he had for God. Amen. And so there was no law, but he gave anyway. Genesis chapter 28, Genesis 28 and verse 20, 21, and 22. And we've got a number of scriptures here tonight, so if you can't keep up in your Bible, just listen carefully. Genesis 28 and verse 20 through 22. Yes.
And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee.
All right. So here we have not just Abraham. We have Jacob, that sneaky, deceiving guy. All right, Jacob. And I'm putting him under the heart as well. You say, well, he wasn't a perfect person. There was something about him. He was a lying, stealing, cheating, conniving young man. But there was something about Jacob. He wanted the things of God. And no doubt, and I'm sure, that Jacob learned about Abraham, his grandfather, how he had given the tithes to Melchizedek. And even though he didn't live that for a portion of time in his life, there came a time when he understood, I've got to get serious about serving God. Amen. Here I am out in the wilderness. I'm going this way and that way. I don't know where I'm going to end up because of my lies, because of all of the things that I've done. And now it's time to set up a pillar that was a pillar of memorial, a pillar of sacrifice, and he said, I'm going to put it as God's house. Amen. This is going to be called God's house, and I'm going to give a tenth unto God if he will bless me. Amen. And so Jacob didn't look at it as a commandment. He looked at it as an opportunity. He saw it as a blessing from God, and he gave it not because of commandments, but he gave it out of his heart. Praise God. How important is the house of God today? It's very important. The house of God is important because that's where preaching takes place. That's where people come to God and know God. And if they do outside of the church, they're going to end up in the church. Amen. Jesus paid a price for his church, and that's how important it is to the Lord. And so we start out with the heart here in the Old Testament, and now we want to go to the law or the commandments. Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 30. I don't know about you, but I enjoy Bible study. I enjoy Bible study. There's something about digging a little bit into the Word of God. Leviticus 27:30. Read for us tonight, Brother Reed.
And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord.
All right. It is holy unto the Lord. And so under the commandments here, we don't have an option. We have to obey here in the commandments. It says here that the tithe of the land and the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree is the Lord's. Amen. And so God said it is holy unto the Lord. And God has given us so many holy things. Amen. He's given us the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Praise God. He's giving us or has given us holiness down deep inside in our hearts. And he has given us a holy church. Amen. He's given us a place of worship. It is holy unto the Lord. And not only has he given us these spiritual things, he has given us these carnal things as well, so that we can bless the work of God with it. Go down to verse 32 and read verse 32 for me.
And concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord.
All right, so it's not just the land or the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree. It is of the flock and whatsoever passeth under the rod. You say, what does that mean? Well, when they had their herds or their flocks, when they would bring them in at nighttime, they would go into the sheepfold, and there was a narrow passageway where one sheep could go through, and they would count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and then 10 would be the 10th one that passed under the rod, and they would take the rod that they used in shepherding, and they would dip it into a color solution, and they would touch the 10th one that passed through. And so as they looked at the flock, there would be a 10th of them that were marked for God. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. I really do. Numbers chapter 18 and verse 26. Numbers 18 and verse 26. Praise God. Read for us, please. All right, a tithe of the tithe, praise God. And so it wasn't just of the land, the seed, the fruit, the herds, the flocks, but now God speaks to the Levites, and Leviticus is written to the Levites. Numbers is also the Lord speaking unto some of the Levites here, or partially speaking to the Levites in the book of Numbers. And he said, when you take of the tithe of the children of Israel, which I've given to you from them for your inheritance. And so when we look at the law, when we look at the commandments here in the Old Testament, God would not allow the Levites to have a piece of land. Amen. They were given a place to live in the land, but they did not have an inheritance. There was separated all of the other 11 tribes. They were separated by land. And if you were the original one, let's say great, 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 great grandpa, and you got this big giant piece of land, when you had a son, you would give him half of it. And the other sons would get to divide the other half among them. And so you would build your house on your father's inheritance. It's not like it is here in America, where we buy and sell houses roughly every 5 years on average. And we have an inheritance. It's something that we are going to hold on to. That's why it was so very important to the Lord not to remove the landmark. Amen. Because that was the landmark that your father gave to you of your inheritance. And we have an inheritance here tonight. Thank God for that. Amen. And it's very exciting, this inheritance that we have. And he said, you shall offer up a heave offering of it for the Lord, even a tenth part of the tithe. Meaning that when the Levites got their increase from the people of the of God, they were to give tithes of that as well. And I don't believe that it was just the tithe, but I believe it was offerings, and I believe it was, well, we're going to talk about these things here tonight a little bit, because it's very, very important that we understand the principle behind giving. Amen. Give, and it shall be given unto you. He didn't put a law upon give. What do you mean, give? What are you talking about? There were those that came along like Zacchaeus. I preached about him here a while back. And he said, I'm going to give a half of what I own to the poor. He just gave. There was no commandment. He would fall under the classification of heart. And Jesus said, salvation has come to your house. And so we see then that it was for the people, but it wasn't just for the people. It was for the ministry as well. All of us are required by our heart, amen, to give to God what is holy unto God. Amen. And it's holy unto God. God looks at it as holy, and it was for the ministry, and their sole calling was for the work of the ministry. Amen. And then we look at Haggai chapter 1. And when we talk about Haggai, then we're going to talk about Malachi. And Haggai and Malachi, those are the last two books, I believe, the last two books in the Old Testament. I'm sure you've been reading in those books this week. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
All right. Haggai and Malachi. But let's go to Haggai. Chapter 1, verse 3 through 11. I told you we had a few scriptures here, and I may stop you as you're reading through this, but go ahead and give us a start, Brother Reed.
Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house by way?
All right, so he starts out, he said, the word of the Lord came, saying, is it time for you to dwell in your sealed houses? And this house, he's talking about the house of God. He's talking about the place of worship, the temple. Amen. And so what are we today? We are the temple of God. And so we don't want this temple to lay waste. Amen. What we need to do is take care of it in the order that God has for it. And Israel had gotten to a place where they came back to the land. They had been banished for 70 years, and then they came back to the land. They rebuilt the temple, or they were rebuilding the temple. And the book of Nehemiah talks about that. Ezra, the book of Ezra, speaks of that as well. And they had to get some things back in order. That 70 years kind of threw things off. And they had to get things back in order. And so the Lord said, my house is laying waste. My house has to be built, and you've got your nice house that you live in, but we need a nice house for God. Amen.
Amen.
And I'm thankful for our nice house for God that we have built here. Read some more.
Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts,
consider your ways. Uh-huh.
Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put in
Amen. Anybody can say amen to that tonight? Amen. Hope not. Praise God. We're not supposed to have a pocket that is empty. Amen. We need to have a pocket that is full. Praise God. We need to have enough to live on and more. Praise God. And I believe that's the will of God for us. How are we going to build a house if we're just scraping by? We can't do it. Amen. We can't have a Cadillac revival on minimum wage. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. And if you're working for minimum wage, that's not a put down. Amen. Go ahead and read some more.
Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways.
Consider your ways. All right, so the focus of God in this world is His house. Amen. It is the church. It is the thing that He came and shed His precious blood for and purchased. Amen. It is the house. It is the center. When they would move through the wilderness, they had the tabernacle. It was always pitched in the center of the nation. And every family would be positioned around the temple so that it would be the center of the nation. I believe today that God needs to be the center of our nation.
Amen.
Amen. I really do. If Jesus Christ were the center of our nation, I'm telling you, it would be a different place than what it is right now. Amen. And He wants to be the center of your life and of our lives corporately. Amen. So go up to the mountain, bring wood, put some energy into this, get excited about it, amen. When you lay the foundation, it's time to shout about it, amen. It's time to praise God for a foundation that we have. And so He said, I want you to consider something here. I want you to consider your life. Is your life getting better financially, or is it getting worse financially? Amen. I'm not saying that tonight to bring condemnation upon anyone, but the Lord said that you put on clothes, but you're not warm. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. There is those that earn wages, but it's gone. It's gone. I'll show you where it goes when we're out of order here. Let's read a little bit further. All right, there's a question there. Why? Why is this happening in my life? Why are things going the way that they're going in my life? And He said, you looked for much, lo, it came to little. I did blow upon it. And so it wasn't a famine that was based upon anything that's outside of and in the world. It's not anything that is external, but it is internal. Amen. And the Lord said, I'm the one that's blowing upon it. I'm the one that is causing the famine because of my house. Amen. When we focus on His house, He focuses on His people. Well, praise the Lord in a positive way. All right, why? Here's the answer to the question. Mm-hmm.
And I called for a drought upon the land.
I called.
And upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of their hands.
Amen. Well, somebody said, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. So what's the answer? Go up to the mountain and bring wood down and build the house. Praise God. Let's spend some time building the house of God. Well, praise the Lord. There needs to be plenty in the storehouse of God's house. Amen. I don't think that we should be scraping by all the time, but I believe that we need to pay our bills. Praise God. I think that in your home you should pay your bills. Well, don't get tight on me here tonight. I hope you all are paying your bills. Amen. I believe we ought to pay our bills on time. Praise God. Maybe I'm just preaching to the choir here tonight. I don't know. But here they had to have an adjustment of their heart. Amen. They were under the law, but they had to have an adjustment of the heart. God had to get the law thing straightened out first. And if there was ever to be a revival in Israel, they were going to have to get it in their heart and understand the positive aspect of giving to God. Amen. Malachi chapter 3, that's the next book over. It's the last book in the Old Testament. And Malachi prophesied of the coming of John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus. And he was in the same time period as Haggai. Malachi chapter 3, verse 7. And read down there till I stop you. All right, so there's another question that needs to be answered. And he said, even from the days of your father, so it's been a long time now, Israel had not served God. They didn't have it in their heart, and they kept falling away. You can read through the Old Testament and see that. And he said, you've gone away from my ordinances, and so God had to get the commandments straightened out first. But that's not what it's all about, is a commandment. Amen. There has to be a returning. There's got to be a turnaround in our life. You can't keep going in the same direction, Israel, because it's just not going to work for you. Somebody said one time, if you keep doing the same things you're doing, you're going to get the same results that you've been getting. Amen. You're not going to have a change unless there's a change right here first, a change in understanding the principles. And I would look at the commandments as the principles, but we've got to go beyond the principles and we've got to apply it by our life, amen, and work it out in our daily life. When you begin to do the Word of God, that's when things begin to straighten out. And so he said, will a man rob God? That's a pretty serious statement there. But he said, wherein have we robbed thee? How can you steal from God? How can you rob God? Well, go ahead and read some more, Brother Reed.
In tithes and offerings.
Everybody said tithes and offerings. All right, tithes and offerings. Now, we're going to look at it here. Some of you know this already, but I just felt it this morning when I got up. Read some more.
You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation.
All right, you're cursed with a curse. Who wants to be cursed by God? Is there anybody here tonight that wants to be cursed by God? I don't want to have a curse upon me. You say, well, I'm doing okay. I don't really need to listen tonight. But I'm telling you, if you are a rich person and you make it through life with all of the niceties and end up like the rich man that the beggar sat at his gate, there will be a mark. And it's not the mark of the tenth, but it will be a mark of cursing. Amen. But the cursing oftentimes leads to the rest of this. Look at it. Read some more.
Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it.
Amen. Somebody said hallelujah. Now, this is where it gets exciting. This is not just a commandment, but it is a commandment with promise. Amen. There is a promise that God gives us. And he said, if you bring into the house, and it's not bringing into the house because of commandments, amen, but it is bringing into the house because of the heart. Praise God. When the heart is right, everything works out really good. Amen. If you're at odds with someone, it doesn't make for good relationship. But when it's heart to heart, there's something about that that really is exciting when it's a heart to heart thing. And he said, I will pour out you a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Praise God. I believe tonight that we can see the hand of God upon us if we will give from the heart. Amen. Not out of necessity, not because we have to, but because we are cheerful about it. Amen. There is something about a young man that will get a hold of the principle of tithing and giving an offering out of your heart. Amen. I'm telling you what, the only direction that you can go is this way. And that's up for those that are not here tonight. Amen. That are listening when they get the tape. We're not broadcasting here. And I will rebuke the devourer. Everybody said the devourer. Amen. Well, praise God. The devourer is the one that when you wake up in the morning and you get ready to go to work, a disaster takes place. And the plumber says it's going to be $1,000. The devourer is things like that that come along constantly, all the time, never able to catch up, always in jeopardy. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, it's not the will of God for us to be that way. You say, well, how can it not be that way? Live within your means, first of all. But before you live within your means, determine in your mind and your heart you're going to give to God. And if you're giving to God, then be faithful and be consistent and follow financial principles with what you have left over. Amen. Praise the Lord. Money is not made necessarily just to spend. Amen. But it is given to us to lay up for the future. I want to show you what it's about here tonight. Read some more. This is good.
And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time of the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, and you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts.
All right, you're going to be a delightsome land. Amen. Going to be exciting when you come into the house of God. This is my opportunity to give. Amen. This is my opportunity to be blessed. It is your season, as we sing in the chorus. It is your season to be blessed. And I believe that God has blessed me so richly. Amen. When I first came to God, I was living in a little bitty place, and I didn't have very much of anything, but I'm thankful tonight for the blessings of God. But I'm thankful tonight even more than that I can bless the work of God. I'm glad that I could help to grow the kingdom of God. And so these two prophets here were in a time of restoration after the return of Babylon, as I've already said. But the first thing that he had to talk about in restoration was the house. Amen. I've got to talk about the work of God, the house of God, and what is beneficial to the house of God. Amen. My house is going to take care of itself if we'll take care of God's house. Amen. And it is true, you know, some people say, well, the old has been done away with. We're talking about the old right now. The old has been done away with, and it doesn't apply to us today. And that is true when you're talking about the civil commandments of God. But this is not a civil commandment of God. It is a moral commandment of God. And not only is it a moral commandment, it is also right. Amen. It is holy. This is holy to God, and it is something that we want to do because we love God with everything that's within us. Amen. And so we come to the New Testament, Matthew 23:23. I'm just going to leave this up here, commandments and heart, because I want to show you the difference here tonight. Matthew 23:23, read for us tonight. All right, so scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, we're going to put them over here. You probably knew that's what I was going to do, right? Hello? All right, you're still here. Amen. Woe unto you. Now, wait a minute, Lord. I've been bringing my tithes of my mint, my anise, and my cumin. Those plants that I've got in my garden, I've been bringing the tithes of those, and I've been giving according to the law. I've gotten it down to a science. I've gotten it down to a specific thing, and I'm doing exactly as I'm supposed to do. But Jesus said, woe unto you. And so there is a motive. There is a reason for our giving that is so very, very important. Amen. Do you love the house of God? Amen. I love the house of God. You know, I want to think of ways to bless the house of God. Right. And it doesn't matter where I am. I want to do something to bless the house of God or the work of God. When we were living in Colorado Springs for a year and 9 months, I had to get a second job, and it was actually a business that I started. And so I could put my children through Christian school. And there was a porch, and it's still there, the porch on the east side of the church. Those two double doors were the main doors. And kids were running out of the church and going through the grass, not the grass, but the plants and everything that was there to decorate. And Pastor Johnson brought that out. And so I went back to my shop, and I got materials, put it all together, brought it to the church, and installed it. And those metal rails that are there on the east door, if you ever get there and you notice that, I built those, and I put those there on the house of God. We left too early, but I had a goal of building fence for the whole property there, and I wanted to install it and put it in there and not charge the church anything for it. Because I wanted the house of God that I come to, I wanted it to look good. Amen. Amen. And that was above and beyond my tithes and my offering. I wanted to do something extra special. Praise God. In fact, I don't believe that we ought to hire everybody to do the things that we do. There's got to be a giving of self. Amen. Praise the Lord. I think it's very important that the grass is mowed each week. Amen. If it needs it, if it's not looking good. Amen. And we need to be concerned that the inside of the house of God looks good. Amen. That takes time and energy and finances and all of that. He said, you're very careful about these things, but you've omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done. Amen. And so Jesus comes along, and of course, I'm going to put him over here on this side. He didn't come to add to the law. He came to fulfill the law. And he said, these you ought to have done. You should have done this right here. And you did do this. You've got a pat on the back for doing that. But it comes to weightier matters, and those are matters of the heart. Amen. It makes a difference how we bring our offering, not what we bring. Luke chapter 18 and verse 10 through 14. I've got a few more scriptures. Are y'all going to hang with me here? Luke 18 verse 10 through 14. All right, now that's a parable about humility, but it tells us something there about the first man, and we would say that he falls under this category right here because he had it down pat. He had it figured out in his budget. Amen. He had it figured out where it would automatically be taken out, if you please. I've got a CPA that does that automatically, and I don't have to think about it. I've got it down. I've got it down pat, and it's going to be there no matter what. And yet he falls under the area of commandment because he didn't do it from his heart. Amen. If we don't serve God from our heart, we're not really serving God. We're just going through commandments and rules and regulations. But God looks at the heart of each and every one of us to see what it is and see what the motive is for what we do. Amen. And he brought it up. I fast twice in the week. There are probably not very many folks that do that. I give tithes of all that I possess. And so he had it marked down. He had his little, calendar out there, and he marked it down every time that he did so that he could be justified in his own heart. And so Jesus talked about this and said it's got to be from the heart. Everybody said the heart. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 9. Does anyone know who wrote 1 Corinthians? Paul. All right, thank you. I'm going to put him right over here. All right. The man that wrote most of the New Testament, I believe he had a heart after God's heart. And 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 9, 10, and 11.
For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith he in altogether for our sake? For our sake, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap you carnal things?
Reap your carnal things. Amen. And so he brings up here Deuteronomy chapter 25 and verse 4. And you can write that down and read it when you get home. But the law stated, thou shalt not muzzle the ox when he treadeth out the corn. And so the ox, and God knows how to humble us all. Amen. He talks about the ministry as an ox. Amen. And Scripture says, by the strength of the ox is much increase. And so that's what we want, is increase. Amen. And they would have a round circle. They would take the corn on the cob, the dried corn, and they would just let the ox. The ox would just walk in a circle every day, all day long, just walking in a circle. And how many times have I been there? How many times have I heard other preachers or ministers, amen, say, I just feel like I'm going in circles, praise God. Well, you're right in the big middle of the will of God. Just keep treading out the corn. And when we come on Wednesday night, I don't want to have just a handful of meal to give you. I want to give you enough corn that'll last for the rest of the week. Praise God. I want there to be much increase because of the Word of God. And he says, does God take care for oxen, or saith he it altogether for our sakes? And he said, for our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth shall plow in hope. Amen. How many of you would work on a job very long if you never got a paycheck? You wouldn't work there very long at all. You'd be looking for a place where you could prosper because of your labor. It is no different in the ministry. Amen. It really isn't. And Paul brings this out. That's what tithes are for, is for the ministry. Amen. And we read that in the Old Testament, and Paul affirms this as well. And then he writes to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 5, and verse 17 and 18, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward." Amen. Now, I understand tonight that our reward is not financial because it's just not. Amen. There are many that labor for the Lord without any compensation whatsoever. But here he writes to the young preacher, Timothy, and he said, let those that rule well, amen, be counted of double honor. And then he brings up this scripture about not muzzling the ox that treadeth out the corn. And when the ox would tread out the corn and go in a circle, he'd work all day, he got hungry, amen. You can't live when all you do is fast and pray. You're going to die. If you don't have some water to drink or maybe a glass of milk or something like that, you're not going to live. Well, the ox wouldn't live very long if all he did was tread out corn, and when he dropped his head to the corn, there was a whip. No, you're not going to do that. This is your job. And just drive the ox in a circle until he collapses. Amen. I've literally seen pastors that have collapsed spiritually because this principle was not understood nor believed, nor was they were not excited about it. I thank God that we've got a church that's excited about giving. Amen. And our blessings are because of your excitement. Amen. I don't ever want to come and just go through a program. I want everyone that comes to feel like they've received something when they came to the house of God. Amen. I'm hurrying here tonight. I've got a few more scriptures. Can we handle a few more here tonight? Amen. And so the tithes is for the ministry. Amen. Let me just draw a line here and change this. It is for the ministry. We'll just abbreviate that there. All right? Because Levi couldn't grow crops. They had to survive somehow. It wasn't a part-time thing with them, even though in our day there are many part-time pastors, only because the congregation cannot support a full-time pastor. And I've been there more than once. Amen. I started a church in Plymouth, Massachusetts. It's not there anymore, but we labored there for a year and 3 months, and the whole time that we were there, I worked on a job, 40 to 50 hours a week on a job, and taught 9 Bible studies a week while I was doing that. And it was not easy being a dad, being a husband, being a pastor. And not only that, we picked everybody up and brought them to church and then took them home. And if we had a dinner, we guess who put the dinner together? Amen. And that's happening a lot. Men that are like that are looked down upon sometimes because they're not ruling well. But I'm telling you what, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. What we need to do is thank God for where we are. Thank God for what we're doing. Amen. And you wouldn't want a preacher or a pastor that was in it for the money. Amen. Amen. You wouldn't. And God is going to give us a reward for what we do. Amen. And when it is time, when God says it is time, Greg Worths, then I'm not going to burden the church. Amen. But I'll live by what I have laid up in store. Praise God. You know why? Because I love the work of God. I love the work of God. And what I leave behind, I want to leave a portion of it to the work of God.
Amen.
I'm not interested in building a kingdom. I'm interested in helping people. Praise God. But the tithe is for the ministry. The offering in the Old Testament was for the house. Praise the Lord. It was for the house. And thank God for the house. Praise the Lord. We couldn't do it as cheap as we did it. Prices have gone up. But this wood right here was milled and created in Belle Plaine. So whenever we needed wood, I had to drive to Belle Plaine, load up a load of lumber, bring it back, and start cutting. Over there where Roxanne and Sister Christine are sitting, that was my workshop. You guys are sitting in my workshop. And it was in there that I built all of the pews in the center here. And the cushions that you're sitting on there, Garrett, cost money. They didn't donate it to the church. I wish they would have. Amen. And at that time, back in those days, it was Lowe's, and I'm not even sure it was Lowe's. I think it was Builder's Square right over there. And while we were doing that, my wife was working as a stocker at Builder's Square so that we could survive, and I was working for myself at doing remodeling and doing whatever I could do. I had a job where I was doing yard work for a retired couple, and just whatever I could do to make enough money to survive while we built the house of God and got it restored and got it ready, and all that while teaching Bible studies and doing the work of God. But I'm not saying that tonight to feel sorry for myself, because I don't feel sorry for myself. If I would have lived my life any other way, I would have to drop my head in shame, because there was a call of God. God called me to preach, and more specifically, to help start churches. Amen. And I'm thankful that the Lord stopped me right here. Praise God. I'm glad that He stopped me right here. When we look at the offerings, it's for the house of God. Everything costs money. And dear Lord, help us. It costs a lot of money nowadays. And there's ways of getting around that a little bit. I've gone to auctions. The door right over there that goes to the baptistry changing room, that's a solid wood door, and I purchased it for $25. The frame around the door I built. The door at the top was all cracked and broken. I had to cut part of the top of the door on and rebuild it and then stain it and varnish it and all that to save the church some money. Amen. The windows over here on this side, I purchased them because I saw that they were on clearance, and I think they were like $25 a piece. And those are high dollar windows. The windows in the foyer, same way. Some things we had to pay full price for. But I'm telling you what, it was for one thing and one thing only. It was for a house for God. I wanted a place where God would feel comfortable to come into. I was in a church one time. Dear Lord, help me. I'm going to get to rambling here tonight. But I was at a church one time, and the sanctuary was this little bitty sanctuary. And it wasn't really a sanctuary at all. It was just, I think, a house that was converted, which is fine. But the wall on one side of it was a curtain. That's all it was. And behind the curtain was all sorts of junk and trash and things like that. And the plumbing didn't work, and it was a bad-looking situation. And I purposed in my heart and my mind, I'm not going to pastor that kind of a church. Amen. You know what? It doesn't cost a whole lot for a bar of soap. It doesn't cost a whole lot for a broom and a dustpan. Amen. Praise God. It really doesn't. And I determined in my mind that whatever God gave me, I was going to leave it better than when I found it. Well, praise the Lord. And so your offering is for the house. Amen. The insurance to cover the house. The lights, the electrical that runs the house. The natural gas that runs the house. And, oh, Lord, I'm not going to go through the list, but there's a large list of things that it takes, amen, to operate the house. And in the Old Testament, the offerings would go into the treasury of the house, and it would be for the maintenance of the house. We just got through painting the outside of it. We're almost finished with painting the inside of it. We're putting a brand new bar. If you want to go look at it, not the kind of bar you're thinking about. Right through here for serving. We're going to have it done by Easter, the Lord willing. And it's going to be very nice when it's done. Brand new carpet. We've got a man coming on the 22nd of this month. And praise the Lord, for the first time we're going to have gutters on the church. And we're not going to have water pouring down on the sidewalk out there and all that mess. Amen. We're going to get that all done. But people just don't work for free. Amen. It costs money. And I'm determined in my mind and my heart that I'm not going to use our building fund money, because that's for a brand new church somewhere. We're not going to spend it here. We're going to spend it out of the offerings. Amen. And God's going to help us, and it's going to be all right. Praise the Lord. Amen. It costs money to replace a air conditioner compressor and a new A-coil. That was a long time ago, and that was over $4,000 just for that repair. Amen. And so giving, I want my house that I go to be nice. And I want the church that I go to be nice. I want to be able to invite anybody to the house of God and not worry that when they come to the house of God that there's grass this tall that hasn't been mowed in weeks and weeks and weeks. Praise the Lord. Somebody went to preach at a church one time, I won't tell you who, but when they got to the church, the grass was about that tall. Praise God. And the only saint that was there in the church drove up in a riding lawnmower. Praise God. And somebody said, well, did he mow a path to the church when he went there? No, he didn't even bother to mow a path. Amen. I'll tell you what, I wouldn't want to pastor a place like that. If God said do it, I'd do it. But I'll tell you what, things would change real quick. Praise God. Well, somebody said praise the Lord. All right, let's move on. I'm running out. I've already run out of time. Alms. Everybody said alms. Alms. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 27. You say, you mean I got to give even more? No. I'm telling you, what you have here is an opportunity to get more. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack. Amen. How many of you in your financial life would like to not lack? When bills come along, you got the money to pay them. When you need something extra, you've got the money to pay for the extra. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, you don't have your hand up. That's the way it'll end up being. Praise God. But I want it to be that way. He said, he that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. God gives us money and abilities to help those that are less fortunate than us. And when I look at that, I see that we live in the most prosperous country in the world. And you say, well, where are we going to give to the poor? I'll tell you what, it's right back there on the wall. Right back there on the wall. Amen. They go to countries where it is poverty, poverty, poverty. were giving to Brother Riggin, and God has helped them, and they've got a facility now, and they are preaching to people that are in poverty, poverty, poverty. And I don't know if you've read much of the news of the world, but Zimbabwe is in major troubles. We support the Ethiopians. There are many, many troubles now in Ethiopia. There is trouble all around our world. But I'm thankful that I can give a little bit of alms, amen, to help someone in need. You say, well, how do they help the poor? Jesus said the poor have the gospel preached to them. We can't feed the world, amen, but I'll tell you what, we can give them the Word of God, which is the spiritual food that they need. Matthew 6 and verse 1, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven, amen. And so Jesus put his approval upon giving to the poor as well. Acts chapter 3 and verse 2, a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. And so it was a common practice of that day. The apostles gave him his healing, but they left him poor as he walked home. Praise God. Amen. And the reason was that they didn't have anything to give him. And so giving of alms is not necessarily a commandment in the Scriptures, but again, it comes down to the heart and it comes down to compassion for those less fortunate than us. Amen. What got the attention of God in the story of Cornelius? Does anybody know? Thy prayers and thine alms have come up as a memorial before God. He gave his tithe, he gave an offering, but he was so excited about the things that God had given to him that he wanted to bless as many people as possible around him. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. He didn't tell anybody, he just did it. And the angel was dispatched unto him. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. Praise God. Let's stand together tonight. You're probably very excited right now. Amen. That pastor's finished. Praise God. God so loved that he gave. It's godly to give. It is godlike to give. Amen. You say, well, God has everything, so it's out of his abundance. I'm telling you today, God took his abundance. He could have gathered all of his abundance together, which is vast. The abundance that God has is vast. Just recently, they took a picture, a very first picture of a black hole out in space, 50-some million light years away from our planet. The black hole is larger than our entire Milky Way galaxy, several billion times bigger than our sun. Amen. And it's probably not the biggest. Amen. God did that when he said, let the stars come into existence, and there it was. What did God do with his vast expanse of material elements of the physical world? You know what he did? He went down to the dust of the earth, and he took his finger and he drew the image of a man, and then, and all of a sudden, there was a blinking in the dust, and somebody coughed. Some dust in my lungs. And a man stood up, and God said, I'm going to clothe you with blood. Praise God. I'm going to clothe you with the blood of an innocent victim, but it is a foreshadow of what I want to do for you, you who are poor, you who have nothing except I give it to you. I'm going to go out of my way. I'm going to give you the very best that I have. And I'm going to give you a promise that I will bless. Good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Don't ever get to the place where your giving becomes monotonous and where your giving is anything outside of your heart. God blessed Abraham. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Jesus Christ was God manifested in the flesh. The Apostle Paul wrote most of the New Testament. What could God do in your life if you would get the principle of giving deep down in your heart, and when you come and you bring your offering, it's cheerful. It's cheerful. I'm thankful that I can give to God. Amen. And I'm not going to stand here tonight and say, I give this much, and I do that, and I do the other. No, I just want to say, Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner. I need you more than anything, God. And if I can bless you any way I can, I want to bless you. Praise the Lord.